God's grace and his peace are yours, dear friends. Thank you for the privilege of being able to share God's word with you today. I'm John Gensmer, pastor at Abiding Love Lutheran Church in Cape Coral, Florida, and a son of this congregation. We'll meditate on Ephesians chapter 5. I'm going to start with the end of verse 18 through verse 20. Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. These are God's words. And being a guest preacher, I'm allowed to get away with things that your pastors can't. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to hold your breath for the introduction of this sermon. Ready? I've heard that we've had a bunch of different special services through this year to mark your anniversary. You focused on different aspects of your worship. You focused on the pulpit, about speaking about how God's word is proclaimed from this place to you for 170 years. You focused on baptism and the font, and how God has brought a rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit to so many, young and old. We've spoken about the altar. We've spoken about the communion rail and about the Lord's Supper that you'll receive today. This incredible new covenant reassured to you in Christ's body and blood. You focused on the windows and the proclamation of Christ's death and resurrection and on Christian education. You've spoken of all these different ways that God has spoken to you. And now today we talk about singing. Are you still holding your breath? You can't hold it forever, right? You can breathe. You can breathe. I'll let you breathe now. Because exhaling is as natural as singing in church. Because we take in God's word from the pulpit, from the font, from the Lord's table. We take it in as we look at the art in this beautiful room. We hear God's word proclaimed to us. And it's so natural that as we receive what God has proclaimed to us through the means of grace, we want to exhale our praise. Singing to God in church is as natural as exhaling, because faith has two different sides. Faith passively first receives what God gives it, but then wants to actively express itself. And that's what we talk about today. We talk about the pipe organ. We talk about the music that we join in singing. And we think for a few minutes, why? Why is music such an important part of our congregational life? Why is it a part of what we do every Sunday? And in short, it's because in our music, God is glorified. This is not something that we've come up with along the way. This is something that has been done since God first proclaimed his power and authority by creating the world, and the angels sang, watching what God was doing. We hear people in the earliest chapters of Genesis proclaiming the name of the Lord, praising him in their own ways. We hear in Isaiah how the angels swirl around God's throne singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." We hear those angels again on Christmas, "Glory to God in the highest and peace to men, for today in the town of David a Savior has been born to you." We hear the 144,000, those who are already in heaven, gathered around the throne, singing that new song. "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive honor and power and might and dominion and praise." We hear the psalmists write down their inspired words. This is what saints and angels have done as God's creation, what saints have done as God's redeemed. They've done it throughout the ages. And now you get to join. Now thank we, all our God, with hearts and hands and voices. It's so natural that our faith exhales in praise to the Lord, declaring all that he has done. A question that is often asked me in my church, because I'm always telling people, hey, join the choir. Hey, sing loud. They always ask, what if it doesn't sound so good? Any of you ever think that? What if I don't sound so good? What makes it sound good? Let's just think about that. Let me give you some examples. I have a son, Ben, who went to Michigan Lutheran Seminary, and when he was 2.5 years old, we went to Walmart after church. And it was a communion Sunday. And so it was still ringing through his head. And in the aisles of Walmart, sitting in the cart, he just starts belting, oh, Christ, Lamb of God, you take away. How beautiful. I have a gentleman in church who, when he sings, he does not use words. It's just like this. Ah. And he doesn't know when to start and stop. So his wife holds his hand, and she squeezes it when the song is done. He had a stroke. And because of that, he's lost some of his faculties. But when he's in church, he wants to praise the Lord. And he joins in singing in his own way. And on the way out, I say, Greg, you were singing loud today. And he said, I like to sing. We have another lady in church that when we sing, sometimes she does this. She's deaf. And that's the way she sings Hallelujah. There's a picture of her heart and her praise going up to heaven. What makes good music? What makes our singing beautiful? It's not always the sounds. It's the heart, isn't it? It's a heart expressing itself, praising God for who he is. And then we do it collectively. And as I thought about today, I thought of how this congregation gets it. That for generations upon generations, it recognizes it comes from the heart to praise him, but then we gather our gifts together as a congregation. We look for those who you have unique, special musical gifts to lead us. We gather our offerings together so that we can enhance our worship in the best possible way, so that we use all of our gifts so that all of us are lifted up to praise God in music and song and to declare him. One of my favorite memories, and one of my least favorite memories, is the children's Christmas service. Do you guys still do that? The children's Christmas service where all the kids from the school come on down here. I'll tell you my least favorite memory about it. One of the years I was sitting about in the fourth row and somebody next to me threw up on me. But what I really remember is how it was in those times that I had teachers who were helping me learn how I get to participate in worship, how I learn God's words to proclaim it, how I learn songs to sing them, how they led me in understanding how to read music so I could sing it. Think of how blessed I was growing up in a church that appreciated music and seeking to do it to the best possible way. I think of a Carolyn Schmidt who taught me how to play piano. And something I still do in my church today. I think of a Pam Biedenbender, Pamela Hart, who helped me learn how to sing notes. I think of a Mike Hine. I think of a Harold Hossbach. I think of a Warner Reckley. I think of all sorts of names from my history that my love of worship, my abilities to sing and praise God, it came from people willing to work with me and teach me and help me. And that is part of what this congregation's love to do. And as you dedicate that pipe organ, that antiphonal organ, again, it shows something's still happening. I do remember one other time I was in this church that's not such a great story. I was up in the balcony. I was playing trumpet. And Warner Reckley, our principal, was on the organ, and I was playing with a friend, and we accompanied our song at the beginning of the service. And then for whatever reason, as it was going, we started joking around, started kind of making fun of things. And there came a point during the sermon that Mr. Reckley, my principal, the organist, had noticed that we weren't taking this seriously. Our hearts were not into this worship, and we're joking around a little bit. And if you knew Mr. Reckley, my principal, he had this way of grabbing your shoulder that you kind of, right? Maybe you never had experienced that, but I had to, right? And he got his hands into my shoulder, and my friend Sean says, "You will talk to me after the service." And it reminded me that how it sounds doesn't matter if it's not from a heart that gets what this is all about. In hell, there is no singing. Have you ever thought about that before? In hell, there's no singing. What do you hear in hell as you listen to scriptures in hell? What we deserve for our sins, for the times we despised our opportunities to praise and thank God. In hell, you hear groaning, you hear agony, you hear silence and forsakenness and despair and hopelessness. In hell, there is no singing. And we deserve that. And then you look upon the cross, and what do you hear? You hear groaning and agony. My God, why have you forsaken me? Our Savior suffering hell, so that we have been redeemed and set free from our sins, that we know hell is never going to happen to us. But instead, because of what Christ has done, and because He lives, we too shall live. And we will be a part of the 144,000. We'll be a part of Jerusalem the golden, where we'll join in the shouts of them that triumph, and the sounds of them that feast. And we will sing, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain." We'll sing it forever and forever and forever. Hallelujah. And we don't have to wait. We get to start right now. Praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being, praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And as the church joins its hearts together to praise the Lord's name and speak to Him, there's a second dynamic, isn't there? That God turns it around and takes what we're saying to Him and uses it for one another. Our text says, "Be filled with the Holy Spirit as you sing songs, hymns, and spiritual songs." To think that as we sing who God is and declare His name in our music, we are actually feeding each other. You know the verse. Faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard in the word of Christ. And you just said it or just heard it. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs in gratitude to God. Your singing praises God but feeds the people around you, and vice versa. I'm not sure all that happened here during COVID, but I know we had a lot of people who stopped coming to our regular worship for a time. We did not have regular worship. We started doing online, and we've encouraged people to come back from online. And those who have watched online but have finally come back said, "You know what we miss? There's something you just can't get unless you're here. You can hear the sermon, but you're not singing together, you're not enriching each other and encouraging each other with these psalms and hymns and songs. How good it is for us to join our voices and our hearts together in praise. And to recognize that as we do so, we're preaching the gospel to one another. If you're like me, you listen to music all the time. You can't get away from music in our world. There's all sorts of ditties and songs that run through your mind. You're like, how did that get there? Right? We're not too far away from the season where you got to hear at least once, Grandma got run over by a reindeer. Yeah, I wish I couldn't hear that one again. But here at church, what greater message than to tell the old, old story again and again and again. Again, I appreciate what I received from this church. I can remember hymnology class from first and second and third grade, memorizing verses of hymns, because those hymns are still with me. I can think of times where I've sat with somebody who is dying in a hospital bed with family around, and they say, can we sing I Know That My Redeemer Lives? Can we sing Abide With Me? I can think of times where people have written out, Pastor, these are the songs I want at my funeral. Why? Because they are what kept me in the faith and strengthened me at so many times. These spoke to me. These were God's words spoken to me. And you get to speak those words every time you sing them. I'm so thankful to see a congregation that continues to see music and worship and our speaking to the Lord as something so important, that you're willing to put together an offering, to put together this new organ in the back, to bring in the new hymnals and to say, how can we gather treasures old and new? To keep teaching the children the music, the songs, because this is what God's church does. This is how our faith exhales and prays to God. And in doing so, we speak to one another about how great our God is. Amen.